You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
I hope you came ready. Don't buckle your safety belts, unbuckle them. Hallelujah. Something good's getting ready to happen. Something good. I said something good. Amen. You know why I believe that? Because the Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm right there in the midst of them. And what we found out from what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 3, he said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. They sang about it tonight, freedom. Why? When the presence of the Lord shows up, captivity cannot remain. Sickness cannot remain. Addictions cannot remain. Hear me. Depression cannot remain. Hallelujah. Because of the presence of the Lord. Somebody say, his presence breaks every yoke of bondage. I've been praying for you today. I spent all day praying for you. Spent all day fasting and praying and believing God for tonight to be a night that you'll receive something from heaven. My testimony has been that by the time this week comes to an end, we're going to hold our testimonies in our hand in Jesus' name. Whatever's been harassing your life, I don't care how long, 30 years, it doesn't matter. When you come in contact with the mighty presence of God, whatever opposed you has to move out of your way in Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout a loud amen. Amen. And if you have your Bible, I want you to open it up with me tonight to the book of Acts chapter 10, and then we're going to go to 1 John, and I have a few things that I want to just share with you from the Word before I pray and minister to you. I want to say welcome to every person that's here tonight. Thank you for being here on a Monday night. Don't tell me people aren't hungry for the Lord. You could be anywhere else tonight, but you're in the house of God. Amen. So I want to personally commend you on your hunger for the things of God. And that's what we need, is hunger for the things of God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What's your promise? They shall be filled. How many are ready to be filled tonight? Amen. I am too. Father, we thank you for the mighty word of God. We thank you for your Spirit that's already in this church tonight. Now, Lord, as we get ready to open up your word, let it be a living word to everybody that hears it. For you declared in your word, the words that I give you, they are spirit and they are life. And so tonight, as the word goes forth, set us free by the word. Give us life by the word. Stir us up by the word. Lord, whatever it was that tried to set up in people's bodies, whatever sickness has tried to set up in their physical body, whatever's tried to set up in their mind, whatever's tried to set up in their joints, in their bones, tonight, as the word goes forth, I pray that you allow it to destroy every work of the devil tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And we'll give you only the praise and the glory and the honor, because you're the only one that can do these things in Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. One verse from Acts 10, verse 38. You should be familiar with this in your spirit. The Bible says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Somebody say all. Who were oppressed by who? The devil. So notice, as Jesus began to heal people, you know, there's actually people in our generation that'll teach you, if you're going through something, it's because God put it on your life to test you. Or God put it on your life to make you a stronger believer, or to lean more fully on him. Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that everybody Jesus encountered that was dealing with an issue in their life, they were oppressed of the devil. It's a weird thing we got going on in our generation, where you got people that'll tell you that when people see miracles happening, well, that's the devil doing that to deceive people. But when you see people getting battling stuff and going through things, well, that's God putting it on you to test you. No, they got the devil healing people and they got God making people sick. They've got it flipped in this generation. But Jesus is still doing the same thing today that he did 2,000 years ago. Because the Bible declares Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. In fact, God said in the book of Malachi, I'm the Lord God, I do not change. Hallelujah. God's doing the same things today that he was doing back then. Understand that when Jesus operated on the earth, every person he came into contact with that was battling sickness or disease, Jesus always treated it as an enemy and destroyed it. Jesus always treated sickness and disease as an enemy. Find me one place in the Bible, in the New Testament, where Jesus came into contact with a situation where somebody was battling in their body, and when they came to him for help, find me one place where he said to them, well, you need to understand my Father has allowed this to come upon you to make you a witness and a stronger believer, because there's people that'll be in your community that will be battling the same thing. And when they come to talk to you, you can show them the love of God and give them your testimony of how I've kept you strong through the storm. No, Jesus doesn't come into your situation to just hug you through the storm. He doesn't come into here just to keep you in his peace through the storm. Read the scripture. The Bible says when they encountered a storm, he woke up off his pillow and rebuked the storm. Jesus isn't there to just nuzzle you up and rub his beard on your neck so you can feel peaceful through the storm. He said, I've got power in the storm to rebuke the storm and tell the wind to shut up and tell the waves to die down. And when Jesus operated in his covenant, every time he found sickness, he destroyed it. When he found disease, he destroyed it. Hallelujah. See, everybody likes to go to John chapter 10 and verse 10, what T.L. Osborne called the gospel in one verse of scripture. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What I found out is there's two sides to the coin. That if he's going to give you abundant life, then he has to first remove whatever was holding back abundant life. There's two sides to the coin. The one side is he gives, but the other side is he destroys. That's why I want you to turn over to 1 John chapter 3, and I want to show you one of the most powerful verses in the New Testament, in my opinion. This is a description of Christ's calling on the earth. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse number 8. The Bible says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Now look at this part, same verse. But the reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. The reason Jesus showed up on the scene was so that he could destroy the works of the devil. Oh my goodness. Jesus came to the earth like a Holy Ghost wrecking ball to tear down the walls of darkness and to destroy the works of the devil. Every time he showed up, notice, Jesus was a dangerous man. Anywhere he went, demons would start crying out and begging, please don't mess with us. Demons were scared of him because they could feel him before he ever showed up. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5, he got on a ship and came across the sea. And when he got to the other side, he stepped out and there was a graveyard nearby. And there was a demon-possessed man in the graveyard who was full of a legion of demons. Historians tell us that the demon was speaking of or referring to a Roman legion of soldiers, which had within it anywhere between 4,000 and 6,000 men. What the demon was saying to Jesus was, there are 4,000 to 6,000 of us inside this man's body. And my name is Legion, for we are many. But notice when Jesus stepped out of the boat and his Jerusalem ones hit the sand, that demon-possessed man, his head popped up and he took off running to find Jesus. And when he got to him, the Bible says he bowed down low before him and began to beg him, do not harass us before our time. Don't mess with us before our time. Even though there were 6,000 demons in the man, that Jesus was still too much for 6,000 devils. He was still too powerful for an army full of demons. And when they felt him coming, they had to beg him, don't mess with us. Jesus is a dangerous man. Our God is a killer. I said, our God is a killer. He kills every evil thing that was sent to destroy you. Oh my God. The Bible said the power of life and death is in the tongue. Power of what? Life and death. Everybody's always teaching serious. We need to speak life, everyone. Speak life. Let's speak life over. But you need to realize there's sometimes you need to speak death. If you've got a cancerous tumor in your body, you don't speak life to it. You better speak death to it and command that thing to shrivel and die and pass from your body. I don't hear you yet, but we're going to have some church in here tonight, because I don't care what was coming against your life. I don't care what was coming against your children. By the time tonight comes to an end, we're going to rebuke that thing in the mighty name of Jesus and command it to loose its grip off of your life in Jesus' name. I don't speak life to things that came to kill me. If it showed up to take my family out, I have got a power on the inside of me. You've got a power on the inside of you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is inside your physical body, and it's making you alive tonight. What business do cancer cells have living inside of a body that's filled with a life-giving spirit? What business does type 2 diabetes have living in a body that's filled with the Holy Ghost? I came to tell you, Jesus is in the house tonight to destroy the works of the devil. If you believe it, shout yes. Two sides to the coin. He gives life, but he destroys what was sent to kill you. The reason he can give you healing is because he knows how to destroy sickness. The reason he can give you financial blessing is because he knows how to destroy poverty. The reason he can give you peace is because he knows how to destroy depression. Jesus is a dangerous man. And I'm going to tell you, he's filling this place and filling you with his power and his presence, because what he is, you also are. 1 John 4:17, the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. Look, not as he was, as he is. Not as he was. Let me tell you, Jesus lives in you today, but understand, Christ in you, it's a very specific kind of Christ. I said it's a specific kind of Christ that's in you tonight. It ain't a baby in a manger. You ain't got no baby in a manger living inside you tonight. That's not who it is. You don't have a 12-year-old boy in the temple asking questions on the inside of you tonight. You don't have some 30-year-old carpenter living on the inside of you tonight. I've been in some pastor's offices. I've seen the stupidest signs of my whole life. On the desk of the pastor, it'll say, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. Let me tell you something. My boss ain't no Jewish carpenter. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Stop trying to dumb Jesus down to a carnal level. He's not a carnal man. He's a supernatural man. And he's seated on a throne tonight, and he's making intercession for you and preparing a place. You don't have some carpenter living in you tonight. I'm gonna go a step further. You don't have a Jesus on the cross living inside you tonight. I go by people, I see they got necklaces on with Jesus stretched out on the cross on the necklace. I said, bro, I gotta buy you a new one. That's the old, that's the outdated version. There's a new one that came out. On the new one, he ain't on the cross. I said, he's not on the cross tonight. He came down on, there's people, see, that's what the devil wants to do, wants to keep him on the cross. But he's not on the cross anymore. See, the devil wants him to stay frozen in time in that one moment. An unresurrected Jesus. That's what the devil wants, an unresurrected Lord. Because by the power of his resurrection, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. He overcame when he got up. He's not on the cross in you tonight. He's not on the grave in you tonight. Wrapped up in grave clothes. Dormant inside your body. No, he's not. Whew. 3 days passed. That's why I like Jesus. Jesus was so powerful. You know, he said, in 3 days, I'm going to raise this temple back up again. They'll destroy it, but I'll raise it back up. You know what I like about him? He didn't even need a full 3 days. Study the history of it for yourself. He was crucified on the evening of the first day. And they came running to see him early in the morning before the dawn on the third day. And the tomb was already empty when they got there. Jesus didn't even have a full 3 days. He just talked to his disciples. He said, look, we don't even need to buy a tomb because I don't need it for that long. I just need somebody to go on tombbnb.com and get me a rental because I don't need that thing. I'm checking out on the third day. So I need you to just rent me something real quick because I'm not going to be in there for many days. I'm coming up out of the ground after 3 days. And when Jesus got up, the power of his spirit was spread throughout the earth. He tore the veil in half. You know what he was saying when he did that? It's not just going to be reserved for a few select people anymore, my presence. It's going to be for everybody now. It's for everybody now. I said it's for everybody now. He has made us all kings and priests. See, in the Old Testament, the only person to get in his glory was the priest. He had to go behind the veil real carefully. They had to tie a rope around his ankle just in case he had some hidden sin that nobody knew about. And he got in there and something was up with his Snapchat account and he was gone, bro. Fell out. And they had to pull his dead behind out of the presence of God. Guess he wasn't serving the Lord the way we thought he was. But see, the Bible says when Jesus died, there was a thick curtain or veil that separated his presence from the rest of the world. I love it because it was very, very tall. And the Bible tells us that when the veil was torn, see, no man could have tore it. Only God could have tore it open. And I love it because when the veil was torn, and the Bible tells us how, from the top to the bottom. You know how I know? How would anybody know when they went in? Because nobody could go in there. How would anybody know how it was torn from top to bottom? You know what that lets me know? There must have been a little piece connected at the very bottom just to let them know I tore it from the top. Letting you know that I opened this thing up from the top. Oh my goodness. I opened this thing up from heaven down to the earth so that now every one of you are qualified to receive the presence of God. Every one of you qualified to receive the miracle power of God. And whatever the devil had planned to take you out, sorry, sucker, it's too late now. Jesus already got up. The Holy Spirit already came down. And now I receive my blessing. Shh. Somebody shout, sorry, sucker. The devil's a liar. I said, the devil's a liar. Christ was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whatever the devil's trying to do to work in your life, it's being destroyed tonight in the name of Jesus. Whew, hallelujah. You got to excuse me. I've been watching miracle testimonies and seeing things happen. I just caught a fresh testimony from this last weekend. A pastor that I follow very closely, they brought the testimony into his church, played it this last Sunday morning. A man had died. They wrapped him up in grave clothes and drained the fluids from his body and injected him with embalming fluid. And he's in the morgue. And all of a sudden, this last weekend, he sneezed and sat up. After somebody said the presence of Jesus is in this place. And the power that raised Jesus from the dead raised this man back from the dead. And he went walking around with embalming fluid filling his body. People can't figure out how are you even alive? Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in him and quickens his mortal body. I'll tell you, if Jesus can raise the dead, then that whatever you're dealing with tonight is not that big of a deal. I found out people try to come to the altar and tell me everything they're dealing with. You know, people want you to really see how serious it is. So, you know, when they tell it to you, they whisper it for effect, you know. But Brother Ted, I just want you to know that the doctor said that my kidneys are shutting down. Oh, yeah? Are your kidneys shutting down? Let me give you a story just to build your faith. Jesus' kidneys had completely shut down. Jesus' heart had stopped beating. Well, I have heart problems. Jesus didn't have a heartbeat. Well, I have high blood pressure, brother. Jesus had no blood pressure. They're saying, I have some brain problems. Jesus had no brain activity. Are you trying to get where I'm going with this? He was dead. Anything that could have gone wrong went wrong. He was laid out cold in a tomb for 3 days laying there. But on the third day, the presence of God drifted into that tomb, and that spirit of life grabbed his lifeless body and shook him back to life. Hallelujah. And that spirit is not reserved for Jesus alone, but it was poured out to every one of us to receive the power of the Most High God. Somebody shout amen. Yeah. The devil has no power. I actually have had ministers come to me and say, well, you know, I've heard the way you speak about demons and the devil in your services, and you're very mocking towards them, and you need to be very careful how you speak about spiritual beings, because you know that the devil has power. I said, no, I don't know it. I didn't know it. My Bible said that Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Now, I'm not a math whiz. But I know when somebody says all, it means all. Huh? I don't have a degree in math. But I can give you a very simple fractional math right here. If somebody was to bake me a blueberry pie and we cut it into 8 slices, and then I sat down and ate all 8 slices and licked the dish clean and gave it back to you sparkling, if somebody came and said, hey, can I get a piece of that? No, because it's gone, because I ate it all. And if I ate it all, that means there's not even a crumb left for. So when Jesus said all power, he was saying there ain't even a crumb left for the devil to have. God has given unto me all power. Then he looked at his disciples and said, I give unto you all power. You'll tread on serpents and scorpions, and if you eat or drink any deadly thing, it's not going to harm you. You'll lay your hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You'll cast out devils. I'm telling you, that same power that was in Jesus is in you. Somebody say the same power. Say the same power. It ain't a knockoff power. Huh? It's not like when you go to New York City and try to buy a Louis Vuitton bag, but it's like LW instead of LV. You're just trying to cover up the other part so people don't know it was. Oh, you got a Louis Vuitton? No, that's a Louis Vuitton. I don't know. That's a different bag. It's not a knockoff power. Huh? It's like my uncle said when he grew up, his parents didn't have money for Nikes. So they had these shoes down at the store. Nobody even knew what brand they were. He said people called them Psyches. That's a different shoe. God's not giving you counterfeit power. He gave you the same power that's in his mouth, that was in Jesus' body, is in this room tonight, and it's in you. If you're serving the Lord, if you're full of the power of God, it is the same spirit. Oh, hallelujah. I said it's the same spirit. It's the very same spirit. The Bible says in Psalm 107 and verse 20, speaking of God, he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Just his word alone carries the power to drive out every attack of the devil. I like how Jesus dealt with the devil. He didn't go into long religious prayers when he was dealing with the devil. Oh, Father, I come to thee now in front of this demon-possessed individual, and I ask you now to send the fire of God from heaven. Jesus didn't do it. Notice what happened when the man with the legion of demons spoke up. You know what Jesus said? Shut up! Very religious prayer. He just said, shut up. There's some stuff that the enemy's tried to throw at you. You don't even need to take the time to pray some big, long religious prayer. If that thing starts acting up in your body again, you go stand in front of the mirror in your house, point your finger at your body, and say, shut up in Jesus' name. You feel them symptoms trying to come back on you, that depression trying to creep into your mind, stand up flat-footed in the power of the Holy Ghost and say, I refuse to put up with what Jesus died for. Shut up in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout, devil, shut up. He got out on the boat and the wind and the waves tried to rock the boat and put them under the water. And the fishermen that had done it their whole lives were afraid they were going to die. He said, where's your faith? Speak to it. Tell it to shut up. And immediately the wind ceased. And the waves had to calm. Did you ever notice this? Jesus didn't rebuke the waves. Only the wind. You know why? God created the waves. It's his water. But the devil sent the wind. There's so many people that are trying to deal with the effect, and they won't deal with the cause. People going around trying to deal with a chemical imbalance in the mind, so they take medication. And the medication has other side effects. Now you got to get on three other medications to deal with the side effects of that medication. And before you know it, you got 19 medications in a little Monday through Sunday canister you got to carry around your house. And before you know it, you're eating those things like Pop Rocks, knocking them back every day. Do you remember to take your pills? No, because I don't want to get choked down again. I prayed for a woman in Pennsylvania. She got delivered from prescription medication. She brought a bag to the altar. I'm talking about a bag that she could have got arrested for possession. I'm talking about she was on 27 medications a day. And she said, God touched me, and I didn't have to take one. I haven't taken one for a week, and I was just back at the church recently. She said, I haven't taken one since the last time you were here. God delivered her from every one of the 27 prescription medications. We try to deal with the effect. Jesus didn't rebuke the waves. No, the wind was stirring up the waves. A demonic wind, a Euroclodon. He said, shut up. And the disciples looked around and said, what kind of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Can I prophesy to you tonight? The level of power you're getting ready to operate in. Somebody lift your hands right now. People are going to watch God work in your life, and they're going to look at each other and say, what kind of man is that? What kind of woman is that? That they don't have to deal with what the rest of the world is dealing with. That they don't have to go through what the rest of the world is going through. That they're somehow exempted from these problems because of the power of God. When God starts to operate in your life, it will blow the minds of natural men and women. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost is sufficient. Yes. Well, brother, if you had a little more medical knowledge, you'd understand the severity of what I'm dealing with. No. I don't have to have a degree in medical science to understand that the word is sufficient. The Spirit of God is sufficient. I have seen people healed of every kind of sickness and disease you can imagine. Everyone. I've seen blind eyes come open. Literally. I'm talking about completely blind. Not somebody had a sleepy in their eye. It was blocking their vision. I'm talking about blind. I gave that testimony yesterday. Prayed for little Timothy, 6 years old, blind for 5 years in his right eye. And instantly, power of God opened it. His mother fell to the floor and started weeping. She had never been to church in her whole life. She saw that miracle. She said, oh my God, this is what God can do? What doctors could not do, Jesus could do. I've seen blind eyes come open. I've seen so many deaf ears come open, I stopped counting. I was in a service once with my father. My father started praying for deaf people. We filled up offering plates filled of hearing aids. So many people, deaf people got healed. We put hearing aids until it filled the offering plates. Don't tell me God ain't real. Full of power. I've seen people, legs, because of car accidents, had to have bone taken out by the doctor. One leg shorter than the other by 2-3 inches. And instantly, God grow the leg right out. You remember this? We see a guy get healed, and God did it, and God adjusted it. He grew the other leg out, and it went further than the other one. God had to pull it back. You remember that? Seen everything. I've seen stage 4 cancer healed by the power of God. AIDS. People say, there's nobody that's ever been on record that's been healed of AIDS. We've seen them in the tent meetings. Todd, what was Todd's last name? Do you remember Todd's last name? Came in that tent meeting in the 90s. He was a homosexual, had been trading needles with people, filled with AIDS. God healed him. He's a preacher now. Seen it. I've seen it. Blood diseases. My own daughter that's in the kids' class tonight was diagnosed with a severe blood disease that would affect her heart for the rest of her life. And mom and I started fasting and praying. Poured oil on that little head. She was only 2 years old, and the doctor said it don't look good. But I said, let me tell you something, God, this is how I pray. Just in case you're wondering, I don't have these like real flowery prayers. I said, one of two things is going to happen, God. We're going to have a miracle, or you lost a preacher. Because I'm not going to run around this country telling people God is real and his power can heal if it ain't even happened in my own house. See, if you're the faucet that's supposed to be giving water to other people, what's the first thing that gets wet when you turn the faucet on? The faucet. Not the cup, not the glass, not the pitcher, the faucet. And if I'm going to be a faucet of God's power for God's people, I better be getting wet first. Somebody shout amen. Everything you can think of. Heart disease. Liver problems. Mesothelioma. Arthritis. Goiters. Tumors. Instantly disappearing. Watched it with my own eyes. This is something I heard my great-great-grandmother tell a story about. This is stuff I've watched with my own eyes in the last 36 years. And seen God do miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. You know why? Because unlike Muhammad, unlike Allah, unlike Buddha, unlike Shiva, unlike Krishna, unlike New Age philosophy, Jesus is actually alive. Hallelujah. He can do things that Haile Selassie cannot do. He's the only true and living God. His power is still real today. Oh, hallelujah. I said his power is still real today. I feel the anointing in this place. The devil doesn't stand a chance against believers filled with the mighty word and power of God. Psalm 107 verse 20. Once again, he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Amen. Healed them. Flip over to Luke chapter 13. Let me show you this. I was a sophomore in high school. As you're going to Luke 13. I was a sophomore in high school. By the way, if you didn't join us every day this week, Monday through Wednesday at 11:30 a.m., we're going live on Facebook from our ministry Facebook. I've already preached to 4,000 people this morning. Preached to 4,000 people logged on to hear the word of God on Facebook. And I preached this morning on the 7 benefits of speaking in tongues. The 7 benefits of speaking in tongues. You can go back and watch the archive if you didn't catch it. Go back and jump on our Facebook page, watch it. Tomorrow, I'm going to deal with another aspect of the Holy Spirit. 5 reasons why every believer must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Tomorrow. But I told this story this afternoon on my broadcast. When I was 16 years old in high school, it was summertime, and I got a call on the phone at my house, and it was one of my friends from high school. He was down at the local hospital. He said, oh, Ted, you got to get down here quick. I said, what's happening? He said, your friend from basketball, he was at a party last night and they got drunk and they went off the road and hit a barn and a 2x4 came through the passenger window, hit him in the temple, put him into a coma instantly. You got to get down here. Doctor said doesn't look good. And the doctor said they don't know if he'll ever come out of the coma. And if he does, he'll probably have brain damage and motor skill problems, and he won't have memory. He's going to have memory loss, all this other stuff. So I got in a car. We drove down to Ruby Memorial Hospital in Clarksburg, West Virginia. I walked into the waiting room, and he was a popular kid at the high school. There's all these kids from sports teams and all this stuff, and they're all crying. It smelled like a distillery in there. It still smelled, you could smell the alcohol. Everybody was still hung over from the night before. And it made me mad because they're all talking about him like he was dead. He was such a good guy. Oh, I loved him so much. I thought, he ain't dead. Amen. Felt like tell him like Jesus. He's not dead. He's only asleep. And I felt an anger rise up in my spirit. Not at them, at the devil. For trying to steal my friend off the earth. I went to the other side of the waiting room. And I started praying in the Holy Ghost. Pacing back and forth. I mean, as I'm praying, I felt faith bubbling up in my spirit. You know why? Because the Bible says in Jude verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And I begin to pray. And the more I'm praying, the more I feel this thing pumping me up on the inside. And I got to the place I couldn't take it anymore. I can't stay out here in the lobby. And I went back. He was in the ICU. And I know you're not supposed to go back there. It's kind of restricted. I pushed through the double doors and a nurse came running. She said, you can't go back there. I turned around, looked at her. She must have seen fire in my eyes. She was like, go ahead. You go back. It's all right. I walked back into the room. I pushed the door open. I come into that hospital room. And there's only two people in there. Him on the bed, lifeless. And his mother in the corner crying. And I got down all there was. I mean, this is where you got to know the power of God works. There wasn't no choir singing. Wasn't nobody on a B3 Hammond organ screaming, my God, I came to tell somebody that somebody coming out of a coma. Yeah. Nobody in there. There was a sniffling mother and a heart monitor beeping. That's it. I knelt down. I felt faith in my spirit. I knelt down next to the bed. I put my mouth to his ear. I said, Seth, it's your friend Ted. I came in here today to pray for you. I said, I don't know if you can hear me, but I came to get you out of this hospital and out of this coma in the name of Jesus. Laid hands on his body. I said, in the mighty name of Jesus, I command you to come out of this coma now by the power of God. And when you come out, I command there to be no brain damage, no motor skill loss, and no memory loss. I declared it over him. And when I took my hand off of that boy's body, guess what happened? Absolutely nothing. He laid there just as dead as before. But let me tell you what I didn't do. I didn't kick a can and go, well, I guess God didn't sovereignly choose to heal him. We never know God's plans. Maybe he'll take this flower home for his garden in heaven. No. I jumped up off the floor. I pointed at the mom. I said, stop crying. Everything's going to be okay. I went back home, got back in the pool. Big leap of faith I took. Got back in the pool. And the next, you know why I did that? Because the Bible doesn't tell us as believers to believe we receive when we get it. It said, believe you receive when you pray. Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. It says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Not when you get it. Anybody can shout when they got it. You got to shout when you pray and say, thank you, God, that you hear me. You always hear me. And I'm praising you like it's already done. Woo. Went home. Got back in the pool. And I said, it is done. Next morning, I got a call from the hospital. It was the same friend. He said, oh my goodness, Ted, let me tell you something. You're not going to believe this. I said, that is a dumb thing to say. I'm a believer. That's actually my whole job is to believe things. Don't tell a believer you ain't going to believe this. I believe it. That's why I came down to the hospital. Because I believe in the power of God. He said, Seth's out of the coma. He said, not only is he out, nurses are saying he's got no brain damage, no motor skill loss, and no memory loss. They said, in fact, the nurses just told us in the history of the hospital, they have no record of anybody recovering from brain trauma like this boy did. I'm telling you, that's why you have the supplementary power of the Holy Ghost that can do what nobody else can do. I came to encourage somebody tonight and tell you, no matter what weapon's been formed against you, no weapon formed against you can prosper. Shout aloud, amen. Luke 13, did you get there? Okay, you beat me. Let me get there. This is an analog Bible, not a digital one. Luke 13 is the story here. We're going down to verse 10. The Bible says, now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for how many years? 18 years. Too long. And she was bent over. One translation says she was bent over double. You imagine walking around like this? Bent over double. And the Bible says she could not fully straighten herself. But when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her. And immediately, everybody say immediately, she was made straight and she glorified God. One of the things you're going to need to do if you want to receive a miracle is you got to make up your mind that after God touches me, I'm going to live for him and I'm going to glorify him. We've had people come through the prayer line asking for the craziest stuff for the craziest reason. A lady came through crippled in her legs. We were traveling with Brother R.W. Shambach back in the day. Anybody remember Brother Shambach? Old revivalist, tent preacher. He went home to be with the Lord. We traveled with him for 15 years. A woman came through the prayer line. She was crippled. She came through on a walker. He said, girl, that's how I used to talk to people. You know, girl, what do you want God to do for you? And she said, oh, Brother Shambach, I want God to heal these crippled legs. He said, really, what do you want him to do that for? What are you going to do when he heals you? She said, oh, I want to get back in them clubs and keep dancing like I used to. He said, I'm not praying for you. She said, why not? He said, I'm not going to pray for you for God to heal you so you can get back out in the life of sin. You got to make up your mind when God touches you, you're going to live for him. The Bible says that when Jesus touched her, she was made straight, but it didn't stop there, and she glorified God. When Peter and John prayed for the lame man at the gate and prayed that his feet and ankle bones would receive strength, he leapt up and followed them into the temple praising God. Huh? Hallelujah. You got to make up in your mind, when God does this for me, I'll serve him like I've never served him. Mm-hmm. Because he does it for his glory. And she glorified God. Verse 14, but the ruler of the synagogue, a religious nut job, was indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And said to the people, you ever seen that? There's some people in church that would rather they have their liturgy, their form, and their fashion than you get a touch from the Lord. That's what a spirit of religion will do. They don't want you praising God in church. They don't want you getting loud in church. They don't want you. They want everything. Well, keep it in order. Just keep it right. Don't get too. I don't mind if you shout, brother, but just keep it to a certain decibel level. You can dance, but just try to stay in the aisle there. We've got visitors here today. Hallelujah. They'll try to shut down a move of the Spirit so they can have a clean cut service and nobody gets a miracle, because you can't decide what's going to happen when God decides to move. It's not up to me to say how it's going to flow when God starts flowing. You either got to jump on the boat and take a ride or you step out of the way, but I can't control the Spirit. He controls me. I said, I don't control him. He controls me. I'm his servant. He's not my servant. I do what he says. I say what he says. And if he wants us to jump up and praise him like we're crazy, then I'll sweat this suit coat up, because I made up my mind that it's not about what I can do for me. It's about what he can do for me. I'm not a healer. Jesus is a healer. And if he's going to heal me, I'm going to praise him like I've lost my mind. Somebody shout in this church tonight. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of old religious church. I'm tired of form. I'm tired of fashion. I'm tired of liturgical services. I want to see this place break loose by the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout amen. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this demonic type of church. 55-minute service. Pushing everybody in and out like a cattle call. Got more advertisement for the coffee in the lobby than the miracles at the altar. I made up in my mind, if that's what church is, I ain't going. I'm not going somewhere where the Holy Ghost won't even go. If I'm going to have church, I'm going to have church. And I'm going to get what God has for me. You can keep the clean-cut religious service. I want a relationship with a yoke breaker. Shout yeah. Yeah. Some places, Holy Ghost couldn't even go there if he wanted to. Because they've scheduled him out of his own service. At 10:13, Sister Sonia will be coming with a reading. At 10:27, we'll have the children's choir. At 10:33... responsive reading. At 10:41, welcome videos. Please. Nothing wrong with organization. Nothing wrong with administration. But if it's at the cost of the Holy Ghost not flowing in your church, might as well get rid of it. Here's why. Barna's research tells us now statistically, 85% of churches in this nation this year won't see one conversion in their church. They won't have one salvation. So if they're not having salvations, you can just mark it down. They're not having miracles either. Because if you ain't even getting people saved, you're not seeing blind eyes and deaf ears come open either. So I started to think to myself, if that's the case, that means Jesus ain't even in the building. Because when he shows up, people get set free. When he shows up, people come to him and answer the call. So if he's not going to church there, then I made up my mind, he probably wouldn't even care. If we went down to Walmart, bought some spray paint and a blowtorch, and spray painted Ichabod on the door and burnt the church to the ground. Because if they're not even producing for the kingdom, he don't care whether they stay or go. He's looking for, he said, if you don't produce fruit from me, I'll make sure we sever you right off the vine and you'll be thrown into a pile to be burned. God's looking for fruitfulness. God's looking for souls to get saved. God's looking for people to be changed by the power of his spirit. This is not about religion. This is about the power of God. Somebody shout amen. I'd rather stay home and watch Netflix than go to some of these religious dead churches where people think that they've become too smart for God. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. Go to some of these places, you can't even get a move of the Spirit. People are too worried. Well, you know, brother, we do have visitors. Good! Let them see the power of God. Well, we want to be sensitive to their needs. If you want to be sensitive to their needs, get them delivered. So let me tell you something. Ain't no coffee in the lobby that's going to deliver a demon out of somebody's spirit. Unless you pour some anointing oil in it. Come to our church. We have wonderful muffins. We have donuts for the visitors. You know who else has that? Dunkin's. We have great coffee at our church. Yeah, so does Starbucks. We have wonderful networking relationships. So does LinkedIn. So does Facebook. But I'll tell you what Dunkin's and Starbucks and Facebook and LinkedIn don't have, miracles. The life-changing power of God. When you come into a house of God like this, so I thank God for a pastor like Pastor Swill and his wife that love the moving of the Holy Ghost, that desire a life-changing power from heaven. Would all that God's children were open to flow in the power of his Spirit. All he wants to do is touch us by his power because he loves us. He died for us, shed his blood so that we could be free. I made up my mind. I'm going to get everything God said is mine. I'm not leaving one thing on the shelf. Hallelujah. If he bought it, I'm taking it home. And the Bible says this man got angry Because it was the Sabbath day. How dare you come into church and actually heal someone on the Sabbath day? He said, there's 6 days in which to work, which work ought to be done. Hallelujah. Come on those days to be healed and not on the Sabbath day. And then the Lord answered him. I love it when the Lord gives a smack to a religious spirit. You hypocrites. Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water? Now watch 16. Here's where I want to finish before we pray. So important. So important. Verse 16. And should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bondage on the Sabbath day? You know what he was really saying here? He's saying, I was never made aware of her issue before. He said, this is the first I found out about it. And I cannot ignore a daughter of Abraham. There's a reason he brought that up, that title. He was trying to let those religious nuts know, she's in covenant with me. And the moment I found out I had a covenant daughter in the room that had been struggling for 18 years, I can't let her leave the church still struggling, because I'm the one who's in covenant with her and I'm the bread of life. I am healing from heaven. So I can't let my covenant daughter go home the same way she came. I just got made aware of her problem and I am the answer. Somebody say, all things are now ready. That's what the New Testament said. All things are now ready. All things are now prepared. All we have to do is receive the power of God. Receiving the power of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Whatever it was the devil's used to come against your life, I want to encourage you tonight, it's not enough. Because you've got a force on the inside of you. And we're going to deliver an anointing into your body tonight that's going to destroy every yoke of bondage. As the musicians come back, let me share this story with you. I was in Rochester, New York. I was holding just a regular prayer service. I'd prayed for everybody in the building. I thought, man, there's nobody else to pray for. And there was a woman standing at the altar. We had everybody come down. And I looked over and the Lord said, don't go back to the keyboard. Don't dismiss the church. Go and just touch the woman's hand. It wasn't a big instruction. It wasn't slap her with oil or throw a prayer cloth on her. Just touch her hand. Tell her my presence is on her. I looked down. I could see clearly she was blind. She had the big glasses on, the cane with the white and red. And she's standing there at the altar with her hands raised. I walked down just like the Lord asked me to. I just touched the side of her hand. I said, sister, the presence of the Lord is on you. I am telling you that when I touched her hand, she fell out in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking violently. And it wasn't one of these like courtesy drops like they do in charismatic churches where the person like checks for the usher first. Like, oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Not something like that. I'm talking about real. She couldn't even see if there was an usher. She was blind. And she hit the ground. And the carpet was only about this thin. It was all cement underneath. I thought, my God, that's either the Holy Ghost or a lawsuit right there. Hit the ground. She's shaking on the power of God. I was hitting her. And I went to go back and sing a song and dismiss the people. When all of a sudden she jumps up off the ground. And starts running back and forth across the altar. And I can hear her shouting. And the pastor heard. He said, hold on, don't. He said, let's get her testimony. And we could hear her shouting. And she was shouting, I can see. I can see. We gave her the microphone. Said, give your testimony. And she didn't give a testimony. She went into full-blown explanation mode. And the frontline singers were still on the platform. She went right down the line. She was like, red shirt, green shirt, blue shirt, yellow shirt. I mean, she started calling them out. She flipped around and the balcony had a digital clock on it. And she said, I can see it says 9:42. And she started, I mean, the place came unglued by the power of the Holy Ghost. As a woman who could not see for many years, instantly had her eyes opened by the power of the Most High God. Hallelujah. I'm encouraging you tonight that there's nothing big enough to take you out. Cancer doesn't have the resources to kill you. Diabetes, I'm telling you, your pancreas has to come back alive in Jesus' name. There is nothing in your joints that can take you out. Arthritis has to answer to the mighty word of God. It doesn't matter what the devil has planned to destroy you. There's a power in this room that's greater. I said it's greater. I want you to lift your hands all over this room right now. I mean, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is in this place to touch you, to change you. To touch and to change you. To touch and to change you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody magnify Jesus. Tell him you love him. If you came expecting, begin to worship the name that's above every other name. Ha 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 ha. Jesus, we magnify you. There's nobody like you. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'd like to pray for this man right here. Could I pray for him? Sir, could I pray for you? Everybody stand on your feet if you would, all over the church. If you don't mind, sir, would you step out? Let me pray for you. Yeah, please, if you don't mind. As I was preaching, I felt like the enemy, the devil, had attacked your life, attacked your body. But I saw the Lord touching you tonight while I was preaching. Amen. Amen. And I believe God is removing this attack of the devil tonight. What the enemy meant to destroy you, God's going to remove it. And the best days of your life are not behind you, they're ahead of you. You believe that? No, let's not hope. Let's make sure. Amen. I don't know you because I'm new to this church, so everybody looks like a visitor to me. So I don't know if you go here, if you're visiting. Oh, it is. So, okay. So you're a visitor like me. Well, let me tell you, after today, you're no longer a visitor. You're part of the family. Amen. Tell me your first name.
William.
William. Okay. Flash. Okay. Okay. Well, Wonderful. Let me pray for your body tonight. Because the enemy has tried to do, first of all, anybody can see you're a strong man, but the enemy's tried to steal your mobility. But tonight, the power of God's touching you. Your back's going to receive a touch by the Holy Ghost. Your hips and joints are going to receive a touch by the Holy Ghost. And I hear the Lord saying even your knees are going to receive a touch. Isn't that what you need?
Yes, I do.
But tonight the power of God's coming upon you. Hallelujah. You believe God can do it?
Oh, yes.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if you ever have before, but I feel like God's also touching your lungs. Have you ever smoked before?
I do right now.
You're smoking right now. Well, not this second, obviously, but still at this point in your life, you're still smoking. But God says he's going to touch your lungs as well. I heard the Lord say that. You believe he'll do it?
Yes, I believe anything.
I believe you do. You're a good man. I can tell you've got a good heart. Amen. God will help you from this night forward. I'm going to pray for your back, your legs, your knees, and your lungs to be touched by the power of God. And I'm going to ask God from this night forward to not only heal your body, but to give you supernatural strength. And give you a long life on the earth in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for Flash now by the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you now that your power flows through his body. Touch his back. I pray you touch the joints of his body, his knees, hips, his legs. And I pray for his chest and his lungs. I take authority over even the beginnings of cancer that would try to set up in his lungs. I curse it in the name of Jesus Christ. I command your body to receive strength tonight, Flash, by the power of God. And from this night forward, that you would serve the Lord with your whole heart for the rest of your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Every attack of the devil, I come against you now. Go in Jesus' name. I command you to be made whole by the power of God. Would you like to be free from smoking cigarettes? Would you like to be free from that? In the name of Jesus, I lay my hands upon you. This addiction to nicotine, I take authority over it in the mighty name of Jesus. From this night forward, I curse the taste of nicotine on your lips and on your tongue, and for you to never have a desire again. And if you smoke a cigarette, let it make you sick to your stomach in Jesus' name. No matter how many you smoke or what company you're smoking for, in Jesus' name, from this night, it comes to an end in the mighty name of Jesus. Be free in the Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we thank you. Love you, buddy. Thank you for coming. Amen. God bless you. My sister back here, she's sitting, you have the nice head wrap on there. You got a beautiful purple sweatshirt. Let me pray for you. Yes, you're looking around. This lady here. Can I pray for you? Praise God. God's touching people tonight. My sister, God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. The enemy's tried to take your life. But tonight, God heals you supernaturally by his power. Every attack of the enemy against your life is destroyed tonight. Now tonight, I'm going to tell you something. God's touching your blood. He's touching your blood tonight. There are other issues in the body that you're dealing with that actually are caused by the issue of your blood. And when God takes care of that, some of these other things will just fade away because that's just the effect, but it's not the cause. Do you know her? Is this your mama? It's your mother. So you know she needs a touch from the Lord. She needs healing. But tonight, God loves you so much, he said, I'm going to touch your body. What's your first name?
Janine.
Janine? Are you from Haiti? Where are you from? From Haiti. You came in all the way from Fort Myers. Well, thank you for coming. I'm so happy you're here tonight. You came on the right night because God's going to touch you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You foul spirit of infirmity. That same attack that was in Luke 13, that same foul spirit of infirmity has tried to attach itself to your body, Janine. But tonight, the power of God makes you whole. I command your blood to receive a touch from the Spirit of God tonight. I curse a spirit of infirmity that tries to attach itself to your life. And I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Loose her and let her go. Shh, by the power of God. Shh. I command your body to receive a touch. You shall not lose your mobility either. You'll not be relegated to a wheelchair in Jesus' name, but you'll be full of strength by the power of God. Your blood receives a touch. Your joints receive a touch. And daughter, you're going to even see her get sharper than ever before. Amen. Whatever this cloudiness that's been in the mind that's tried to slow you down, God removes it tonight in Jesus' name. No more cloudiness of the mind. But God gives you that sharp ability back in the mighty name of Jesus. And I command your body to receive strength from heaven. Your blood is touched by God. Your mobility is strengthened tonight. I command you to be made whole in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Somebody lift your hands with her and thank God with Janine. Amen. I'm going to pray for you too. Every hand lifted to the Lord. I mean, he loves us. He loves us. I said he loves us. Amen. He loves us. He's taking care of us. My sister, can I pray for you? Lift your hands. The Lord is even healing. You know, the Lord heals more than physical bodies. The Lord can even heal emotions. And the Lord's touching you tonight. There's been some things that have happened over the last 3, 4, 5 years right here in the recent past that have been a heavy weight on your soul and on your spirit. It's been something that's stolen your peace and stolen your joy. And tonight God gives you back supernatural joy and supernatural peace. And it does not matter whatever relationship issue that caused that depression or that anxiety, that peace to be stolen from you. God said, I've kept you and I'm going to give you supernatural peace that passes all understanding. I'm going to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Joy unspeakable. And when I lay my hands upon you, a new life, a new joy, a new peace jumps into your spirit tonight. And whatever has happened in the past is over And it's healed tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you'll never have to go back to that old way of feeling or living. For the Holy Spirit takes care of you tonight. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon her. I command you be filled to overflowing with the power of God. In Jesus' name, every hurt mended. Peace like a river flows through you. Joy like a fountain bubbles up on the inside of you. In Jesus' mighty name. Ha 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 ha. In Jesus' mighty name. Receive it. The power of God. The power of God. The power of God. My brother, lift your hands. You know that the Lord's put a ministry purpose in your life, hasn't he? To do things for the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
We've never met, have we?
No, sir.
But God has called you.
Yes.
To do the work of the ministry.
Yes, he is.
I don't know you or what you do, but I can tell you I see the anointing of God on your life. This coming year, before this year comes to an end, you're going to see supernatural open doors like you've never seen. God's getting ready to open up doors of opportunity. Amen. And you're going to begin to see supernatural signs and wonders by the works of your hands. You believe that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Is this your wife? You're working with him? Amen. Join hands with your husband. God is putting a strength on this couple to work the works of God in this generation. People will be changed by the power of God's Spirit. Those that the enemies tried to take out, you will lift them back to life by the power of the Word and His Spirit. Ha, 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 ha. And it's not going to be like anything other people have seen before. It's not going to even feel religious. It's going to be a free flow of the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 In Jesus' name. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon him. Fire of the Holy Spirit come upon her tonight. Receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Somebody lift your hands with them. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. My sister, come. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for everybody in just a moment that needs a touch. Now, you're spry. You got strength. You got... But you didn't even tell anybody. There's been a few things that have been messing with you over the last couple of weeks. Just the last couple of months, really, is something new that the enemy's tried to do. But God said, it's not going to work against you. In Jesus' name. Now, you're a woman of faith. Anybody knows that. Great faith. But let me tell you what this is. It's not just the enemy trying to attack you in your body. It's the enemy trying to stop you from doing what God's called you to do. Because there's an anointing on your life. And let me tell you, and the enemy knows people that are a threat to the kingdom. You know, the devil can't just attack anybody because he has limited resources. You know, he can't create demons. They're all just fallen angels. People walk around through church. Pastor, pray for me. Devil's been chasing me all week. He don't even know who you are. Limited resources. So he has to use his resources wisely. And if he's trying to send an attack against you, that means he knows there's something in you that's a threat to the kingdom of darkness. But I'm telling you, this is going to be getting ready to be the most glorious time in your whole life. God's going to use you in such a mighty way. It's going to blow the mind of people around you to see what God's going to do through you. Amen. Amen. Lift those hands to the Lord. When I lay my hands upon you, every attack of the enemy ceases right now. And a fresh anointing from heaven comes upon your body and in your spirit. Fire of God come upon her tonight in Jesus' name. I command you to be filled to overflowing with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody say Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's going to be a whole lot better than you've ever imagined. Whole lot better. You're going, people are like, what in the world got into her? It's the joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They're going to look at you and say, she's different. I don't know what's going on over there. I think she's on drugs. No, it's the Holy Ghost. That's something cocaine can't do. Hallelujah. Ah, Jimmy, God said he's moving some things out of the way. Moving some things out of the way. He's getting ready to blow his breath from heaven and move some things out of the way. Obstacles that have caused you a heartache. God said, I'm blowing my breath. And in the same way that I blew quail in for the children of Israel from every direction and fed 4 to 6 million people in the wilderness, I'm blowing my breath for you and blowing obstacles out of your way. That before the time 2018 comes to an end, you mark it down, the crooked places are getting ready to be made straight. And whatever you felt like, you know what? You ever felt like this before? Like you're running, but as you run, it's like you're running on the wet beach where each foot gets stuck down in the sand. And it's like your thighs start burning. You can't run with momentum because every step is being sucked into the ground. I felt like the Holy Spirit's saying, all of that hindrance in your running is getting ready to get up and get out of your way. And before this year comes to an end, you're going to be running like the wind in the Holy Ghost. And whatever was crooked is being made straight in Jesus' mighty name. Ha, 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 ha. And an influx of blessing like you've never seen. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon him. Fire of the Holy Ghost. I come in every crooked place to be made straight in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, blow your breath from heaven. 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 In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. I want every person in this place to bow your head before we pray for anybody tonight and ask God to heal them. Healing is the children's bread. It belongs to the children of God. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this church, you hear me. Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. And many of you might not be ready to see him when he comes. Do not leave this church tonight without knowing that you're ready to see Jesus and that sin has been removed from your life and that you're in right standing with God. If there's something in your life tonight displeasing to the Lord, Jesus is calling you. It's time to come home. Leave the past behind. Leave an old way of living behind. And come home tonight by the power of the Spirit of God. If that's you and you say, you know what? I know that if Jesus came tonight, I'm not ready to see him. There's something in my life holding me back from serving God. And I want to know that I'm ready to serve God and see him when he comes. You want to pray this prayer with me tonight. Make sure all things are made new before God. Right where you're standing, lift your hand, hold it high, and I'm going to pray for you. I see it there. You want to get sin out of your life. You want to be ready to see God when he comes back. Every person, you lifted your hand. I want you to quickly get out of your seat and come stand with me at God's altar. Come quick. Come on. If you lifted your hand, come stand right here. Come on. Jesus is calling. All things are being made new by the power of God. Come on. If you lifted that hand, don't be ashamed. Who cares what somebody else might think? The thing that matters is, what does Jesus think? What does God think of my life? Because he's the only one that matters. He's the only one that matters. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? If you're still in your seat, but you know you need to be at this altar, quickly get out and come. Get out and come. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. God bless you, sister. We're going to pray for you in just a moment. Hallelujah. One more moment. If you need to be at God's altar, quickly come. God bless you. 10 more seconds, and then we're going to pray. In Jesus' mighty name. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. The Bible tells us, it's very simple. When we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. It's not a 21-step process. I always tell people that. It's a one-step process. And then we live for God with our whole heart. Now, I want you to repeat this prayer with me, and I want you to say it like you mean it. Tonight, you're making a choice, never going back again. Let the Lord know you mean business. Pray this. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for sending your son to die for me. I ask you now Forgive me for my sin. Make me new. Give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life. Until I die or until you come. Thank you, Lord, that I'm free tonight. I'm never going back to an old way of living. From this night forward, I belong to Jesus. Somebody shout, devil, take your hands off my life. I do not belong to you. I belong to Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. Now lift both hands and thank God that all things are made new. We thank you, Lord, that everyone has been added to the kingdom of God. I pray in Jesus' name that you fill every one of them with the power of the Holy Ghost. Put a hedge of protection around their life. In Jesus' name, like never before, use them to do great things for the kingdom of God. My sister, you'll never be the same again. That's the power of the Holy Ghost touching you now. Every yoke, chain, destroyed. Every prison door is come open. You are free in the mighty name of Jesus. Give Jesus a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now listen, let me encourage you. I don't know everybody, but if you don't have a home church, let me tell you, I recommend that you get in this church and be faithful. Let this man become your pastor, his wife. They have the faith of God and the anointing of God to lift you up to another level and to put faith in your heart to do what God's called you to do. Can you shout aloud, amen? Amen. Somebody say, I've been made new. Amen. You can return to your seat. Now listen, we're going to pray. The team's going to sing in just a moment. Every person in this church that you're believing for God to heal you in your body or set you free, maybe you're struggling. Maybe there's people here tonight. Like my brother Flash, maybe there was an addiction in your life that you're believing God to set you free from. Tonight's your night. I said, tonight's your night. Someone say, tonight's my night. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes. Tonight's your night. So what we're going to do is this. Every person, you're in your seat, you need a touch in your body, or you might be standing in for somebody else who needs a touch that's not here tonight. We'll send the anointing to them. We're going to have you come to the altar of God. They're going to worship. They're going to praise. I'm going to lay hands on you as the Bible instructs us to do. And impart the life of God into your body. In Jesus' name. And everybody say this with me. No weapon that's formed against me can be allowed to prosper. No. You are free tonight because of the power of Jesus and his blood. It's got enough power to set every man free, every woman free. So one more time, if you don't mind, stand on your feet. If you need a touch in your body, you need a touch. Maybe your family member does. They're not here. We're going to have you get out of your seat and come stand at God's altar. If you have an issue where you can't stand for long periods of time, just sit right here on the front row. And I will pray for you. If the issue you have, like this precious woman here, you might have some long prayer. That's okay. I'll come to you. Amen. The Holy Spirit is accommodating. Praise God. How many believe God is able? Our God is able to do exceeding, abundantly, and above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amen. Sister, lift your hands. One of the quickest ways to get your healing is by praising God. And you've got a praising spirit. Amen. See, many people don't understand. Praise opens you up to the mighty power of God. Because the Bible said God inhabits the praises of his people. And when he comes in, whatever is attached to his presence becomes attached to you. If there's healing in his presence, healing gets attached to you when you praise God. Put your hands tonight. God's getting ready to touch you supernaturally. You believe him for touch, you stand in for somebody else.
Standing in for someone else.
Tell me what they need.
Healing, diabetes, high blood pressure.
Type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure. Is this somebody in your family?
Yes.
Who is it?
My father.
It's your father. Tell me his first name.
Gerard.
We're going to lay hands on you and send the anointing to Gerard tonight. Let me tell you something. It's very interesting that I'm talking about praise. Did you know that you can praise God for somebody else? The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in the inner dungeon, and at midnight, they began to pray and sing praises unto God, and all the prisoners heard them. And when they were done praying and praising, the prison shook. Now watch this. It wasn't just Paul and Silas's chains that fell off and their door that came open. Every chain fell off and every door came open. You know what that means? You can praise God for somebody else. Amen. Lift your hands. It's Gerard. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over diabetes. I take authority over high blood pressure in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We send the anointing to Gerard tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost. I command him be healed by the power of God in Jesus' mighty name. And from this night forward, we loose the power of God into his body, commanded to get better, 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 better in Jesus' name for your glory. And we'll give you all the praise, honor in Jesus' mighty name. You guys have a song? You ready to go? Amen. Praise God. Where's my singers at? The singer, your singer here. Who else? Is there anybody else that's a singer? I'm going to pray for you first if you need, before, so you can worship with the team. Any singer that's up, let me pray for you first. Then we're going to worship God together. Prayed for one. God bless you. Let me pray for you. You know, when you were praising God tonight, I saw the anointing come on your life, that in this next season of your life, God's going to open you up. Come here, I'll tell you why. The ministry anointing, you have a hungry heart, a faith-filled heart, and God's going to start using these hands to bring the broken, the dying, the hurting, those that had no chance. Others counted them out. Said they'll never get saved. They're too hard of a case. They'll never come to church. They'll never have a chance. They're too deep in the life. God said, I'm putting an anointing on your life and on your hands that is going to snatch them out of darkness into his marvelous light. And other people who people have written off and said there's no chance for them, God said, that's why I'm going to send you in like a Holy Ghost assassin and take out every plan of the devil over their life. Some people, now watch this, because of the heart that you have, there's even been people that have come to you, and when they get talking to you, they end up spilling more than they meant to spill, don't they?
Yeah.
And they say, I don't even know why I'm telling you all this.
Yeah.
Don't they say that?
Uh-huh.
It's because of the anointing God's put in you. It's a magnet. It pulls out of them the hurt, everything the enemy's used to destroy them. That's why you've already got this anointing where it's magnetizing the lost. You're pulling them into the kingdom. But you're going to see a greater level of that than you've ever seen. Because God's getting ready to take you to a new level in your ministry and your calling. And you're going to be a life saver. Many people don't know this. God raises up deliverers in every generation. Did you all know that? Moses was a deliverer. Daniel was a deliverer. Joseph was a deliverer. Elijah and Elisha, deliverers. God raises them up in every generation to deliver the captives and set them free. There are people that would die if it hadn't been for the anointing on your life. There's people that would have committed suicide if it wasn't for the anointing on your life. But God's taking you to the next level. Lift your hands to the Lord. From this night forward, the fire of God comes upon you like never before, and you will be used for the kingdom. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon her. Magnetized for the kingdom of God. And I command souls to be drawn in, drawn in, drawn in, drawn in, and be saved from death in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If you believe it, somebody shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
Whatever you need, somebody declare, tonight's my night to receive a touch from God in Jesus' name. They're going to worship. We're going to praise. Then just set your faith and say, I'm about to receive my miracle in Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.